strange thing that I should mention, maybe you've heard of it. The Parshas Bshalach, in addition to the splitting of the Red Sea, means Yom Tov. It's also the Parsha of the Man. It's the Parsha of the falling of the Man that is Lechem min Hashamayim. It is bread from heaven. So it is recorded that some people have a minhag, it's even in every sitter, or at least the art school sitter, that some people read the Parsha of Man every day as a bracha, a prayer to Hashem, they should have a good parnasa from heaven. So it is said that in the Shnai Mikra V'Echad Targum, the Aliyah, you know, if you do one Aliyah every day, so for Tuesday, the Parsha Saman is the Aliyah that would have been read on Tuesday. So some people say there's a special minute, if you want to be rich, to read the Parsha Saman on Tuesday of Shabbat Shira. That would have been this last season. So I'm really, really sorry. But next year you'll remember, and the Rish Hashem Yud Vizayicha. But of course, keep in mind, somebody once asked, Rav Chaim Kanevsky asked his father, the stipler, because the Rama says, when you give somebody the honor of a sandik, that's the one who holds the baby, you should always try to give a different person the honor, because since sandik is a skula to get wealthy, it's good to spread the wealth. You don't want just one person to keep on, you know, fueling it. So Rav Chaim Kanevsky asked his father, people have been mechabed you sandik like 10 million times. Now you have been sandik in so many brises. You know, we're poor. How come you're not rich? So he said, you know, Pirkei Avos says, Ezeyo Asher, a wealthy person is a person, Sameach Bechelko, you're happy with your lot. So he says, sometimes the bracha of wealth doesn't mean Hashem gives you more, but Hashem gives you more joy in what you have. So, but either way, you come out good with that. That's also going to be good. That's even better, as a matter of fact. Okay. But anyway, with those apologies, let me go back to Kriyas Yom Tov. There's an interesting halacha that emerges from this whole discussion. You may remember the famous medrash that when the Egyptians were drowning, the Malachi Ashares wanted to sing Shira to Hashem. They wanted to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu said, do not praise me when the Egyptians are drowning. Because of the words, Maise Yodai Tovim Bayom, my creatures are drowning in the ocean or the sea. V'atem Omrim Shira. And you want to be happy, you want to rejoice. And the Medrash says, this illustrates the Pasuk, B'nafol LaYavecha Al Tisbach. When your enemy has a downfall, do not rejoice. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the Malachi Hashareis not to say Shira, because of Maise Yadai Tavu Bayom. Now, some people say that that is the minhag, the basis of the minhag of during the Pesach Seder, when we recite the Ten Makos. So we pour off a little wine from our cup, as if to say that the part of the Haggadah where we discuss the destruction of the Egyptians, we don't gloat. Our simcha is not complete. Now the Emma says, that's not the reason the Rishayim give. The minhag of pouring off wine is given by the Rishayim, but they do not give that reason. This reason is a very well-known reason, but in fact it's very, very late. I believe the first mention of it is in the 19th century. The reason the Rishayim give is really a different reason. The point is not to pour off wine, the point is to use your finger to take off wine, to indicate that all of the makos, the blood, the red wine represents the blood of the makos, is from the etzpa elokim, the finger of God. So it's not connected to commiseration with the Egyptians. It's connected to etzpa elokim. That's why if you were to just pour it off, that wouldn't be good. It has to be put after with your finger. But be it as it may, though, even if it's not the reason for the pouring off of the wine, it is what the Medrash says. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Maise Yadai Tavu Bayom, Vatem Reinim Shira. And this is a very, very important idea in Yiddishkeit. The Torah is not pacifistic. If somebody is trying to kill you, you are supposed to kill them. And we don't say turn the other cheek. We don't say let them endanger. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself killed the Mitzrayim. I mean, you might say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares so much about the death of the Egyptians, so don't kill them. It's all the whole thing is up to you. The answer is no. They had to die. They were chayav misa. They were oppressing the Jewish people. They no longer were worthy of living. They had to be destroyed. That's fine. But even when you have to do something, that doesn't mean you rejoice. That doesn't mean you gloat. That doesn't mean you have jubilation. You do what you have to do. But it is a tragedy when a human being dies. And you have to understand the nature of the tragedy. If a person grows up to become a Russia, and a Russia destroys people, for example, the tragedy is not only to the victims who were hurt by the Russia, which of course it is. The tragedy is what happened to the Russia himself. That is a tragedy. That is a tragedy that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over. Because every single person, Jew or Goy, is made in the image of Hashem. Because the phrase, B'Tselem Elokim, is not only the Jewish people. The Jewish people, of course, have a distinct and unique relationship with Hashem. But the predicate of Tselem Elokim, which means God's image, but it doesn't mean a physical image, because Hashem doesn't have a physical image. But it refers to the spiritual characteristics of wisdom and goodness and kindness. These are all. Every human being has them. But what happens is, through the Kayach of Bechira, we pervert it, we besmirch it, we sully it, we dirty it. We almost destroy it. So sometimes the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, things are so bad, I just got to get rid of this. But that is a tragedy. I mean, imagine, for example, this happens unfortunately, you have these guys who grow up to become mass murderers. Or even recently, they shoot up a high school. And often they're young, right? They're not like kids in his mature years. They themselves might be teenagers in high school. And their parents are still alive. And you have the parents of the mass murderer, and you have the parents of the victims. And we know, of course, the parents of the victims suffered tremendously. But we sometimes don't want to think about what the parents of the murderer suffered, that they had a child that became this. So Kavyachol, the Ribbono Shel Olam, suffers the same way. When the Ribbono Shel Olam's children become Rishayim, this is a tremendous tsar to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is Maisa Yodai Tavu B'Yad Vatem Orim Shira. Golda Meir, who's hardly a Makor on any teachings of Yiddishkeit, I would not consider her to be an authoritative source. Although it's interesting that the early Zionists, in other words, the Zionists at the beginning of the State of Israel, Ben-Gurion, Golda Meir, all of these people, even though they were not religious and they rejected a lot of things, but they at least knew what they were rejecting. They grew up, they were perhaps the real Apikorsim. The real Apikorsim is somebody who knows what the Torah says and doesn't listen to it. Unfortunately, the newer generation are not even Apikorsim, they're just Amoratsim, they just don't know anything at all. So the old timers, they came from Europe, they actually had some type of chinuch and the like. Golda Meir grew up in Milwaukee, but she went to Hebrew school, she had different things. But she once said, and this is a very famous quote, some people say it's an infamous quote, some people don't like it. So I'm quoting her, I'm not quoting me. She said, "We can forgive the Arabs for killing our children, but we cannot forgive the Arabs for making us kill their children." Now, I'm not going to endorse the first part of the statement. I'm not saying we should forgive. That's a separate issue. But the second part has an insight, because what she's saying is that the tragedy of war is not only for that which we've lost, but for that which we've had to do. So unlike, for example, our friends across the street who will dance and rejoice and dip their hands in blood. Yeah. If we, God forbid, have to kill terrorists or Arabs, we have to, and very definitely, sometimes we have to. There's no apologies for that. But a Jewish person does it with sadness. A Jewish person does it with regret. A Jewish person is makir. Maisa yodai tavu bayam v'yatem omrim shira. Now, because of this, we have an interesting halacha that comes out of this. And that is, we know that for Sukkot is 7 days of Sukkot, and then the 8th day is Shmini Atzeret, and Chutz La'aretz will be 9 days of Sukkot. We say a complete halal. Shavuos, we say a complete halal. Chanukah, we say a complete halal. We say a half halal on Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh is not a Yom Tov. But the only Yom Tov that has a half halal is all the days of Pesach beyond the first day. We only say a full Hallel on the first night of Pesach, that's the Seder, and on the day, Chutz La'aretz, that'll be 2 days because everything is doubled. But the rest of Pesach, including the last day, which is a Yom Tov, we only say half Hallel. So the question becomes, why by Sukkot do I say Hallel, a full Hallel, for all 8 days, including Simchas Torah, Shmini Atzeres, and Pesach, I only say a Hallel Shonai on the first day? So here's an interesting point. There are two reasons. One reason is given in the Gemara itself, and the other is a Medrash. The reason the Gemara gives is a very technical reason. We know that every day of Yom Tov, including Chol HaMoed, there were special musafim that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash, Korban Musaf. If you look at the Korbanos of Sukkot, every single day the musaf was different. Remember, that's the famous pattern, that the bulls of Sukkot go in descending order, that on day one you brought 13 bulls, day two, 12. So every day was a distinct, unique, different korban. Pesach, there was a musaf every day, but it was the same musaf every day. By the way, just be sure you understand this, I know many of you probably know this, but I want to clarify. Do not confuse the musaf of Pesach with the korban Pesach. Right? You understand, the korban Pesach is a totally different thing. The korban Pesach, every single family had to bring their own lamb, and that was shechted on Erev Pesach. It was roasted, and it was eaten Pesach night. That is the Korban Pesach. The Musaf was a communal offering, meaning not every, you didn't bring your own Musaf. There was one Musaf that was brought for Klal Yisrael, and that was every single day of Pesach. Right? So the Musaf and the Korban Pesach are two very, very different things. And of course, every Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, and Yom Tov, there's a Musaf. And the Beis HaMikdash, which is why we have a Tfilas Musaf to make up for that. Musaf just means the additional offering. Okay. So, what does the Gemara tell us? The Gemara tells us every day of Pesach was the same Musaf. Every day of Sukkot was a different Musaf. So why is that relevant? That's relevant because since every day of Sukkot is a different Musaf, it's as if every day is a new Yom Tov. If every day is a new Yom Tov, you have to celebrate it with a complete Hallel. But Pesach, since you bring the same Musaf over and over again, it's one long Yom Tov. It's the same Yom Tov. So you only do a full Hallel for the first day, and that covers you for the rest. That is what the Gemara says. Now, interestingly enough, the Mishnah Berurah says there's an interesting halacha, Bizman HaZeh, that's based on that difference of the Korbanos. That is the following. For the Haftarah, we know that for the Haftarah of a Shabbos, you ended with Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. For the Haftarah of a Yom Tov, you ended with Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hazmanim. What if it's a Yom Tov and a Shabbos? Let's say the first day of a Yom Tov falls out on Shabbos. So very simply, you simply say Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim. Okay. All of that is clear, right? A regular Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos. A regular Yom Tov, Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Combination of Shabbos and Yom Tov, Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael Vazmanim. Digression for a moment. Why, when I say Shabbos, I just say Mekadesh HaShabbos, and by Yom Tov I say Yisrael Vazmanim? The answer is very simple. The holiness of Shabbos does not depend on the Jewish people. Shabbos is automatic, even if no Jew is in the world, God forbid. Shabbos is Shabbos. Yom Tov depends on the Sanhedrin sanctifying the new moon. Therefore, Mekadesh Yisrael, Hashem sanctified Yisrael, who can then sanctify the holidays by the Rosh Chodesh. And that's why when Shabbos and Yom Tov are together, it's Mekadesh HaShabbos V'Yisrael V'Hazmanim, not Mekadesh Yisrael V'Hashabbos V'Hazmanim. Okay, that's fine. All of this is simple. Question, what do you do when it's not Shabbos and Yom Tov, but it's Shabbos and Chol HaMoed? Shabbos Chol HaMoed, when you read the Haftorah, Do you treat it like a regular Shabbos, which is Mekadesh HaShabbos? Or do you treat it like Mekadesh, like Yom Tov and Shabbos, Mekadesh HaShabbos for Yisrael Zman? What do you do with Shabbos Chol HaMoed? So the Mishnah Berurah says, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Pesach, you just say Mekadesh HaShabbos. Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos, you say Mekadesh HaShabbos for Yisrael Zman. And the difference is, because Pesach, we look at it like one long Yom Tov, so once the Yom Tov started, we don't commemorate it in the middle by mentioning the Yom Tov. Sukkos, every day is a distinct Yom Tov. Okay, I'll tell you, if I could be in a semi-confessional mood, this halacha, I may forget many, many halachas. This halacha I will never forget. It's not an everyday halacha. Because when I was in ninth grade, we were supposed to have a halacha seder after davening. And I was doing something else. I was doing Mishnah or Gemara or something. So my Rebbe went over to me, and that was one of the great poskim in the world, really, with Moshe Heinemann. And he said, "Why aren't you learning halacha?" So I don't know, whatever. So he said, "Well, you think you know halacha? Okay, what's the answer to this shaila?" So I didn't know. So the Gemara says, a person remembers Divrei Torah when they make a mistake. You kind of remember it. So that halacha, I always remember because of that, the importance of having a halacha seder. Okay. So the Gemara, but going back to the main point, what did the Gemara say this about, though? The Gemara was trying to answer a question. Remember, the Gemara was answering a question. Why the 8 days of Sukkot you have whole halal, and for Pesach you only have a whole halal the first day? That's the Gemara's kasha. Gemara's answer: Pesach is one long holiday because the Musaf is the same. Therefore, one halal will cover it. One whole halal will cover it. Sukkot, because of the chiluk in the Musafim, is 8 separate holidays. Therefore, you have 8 whole halals. That is the Gemara in Maseches Erchim. There is a Medrash, however. Now, this is a very interesting point. I say it's a Medrash. One of the Rishonim, there's a great Rishon called the Shibalei Haleket. It's a Rishon. Shibalei Haleket brings this in the name of the Medrash. But the truth of the matter is, we don't have that Medrash. So I cannot tell you where in the Medrash to find this. Because in fact, it is a medrash quoted by the Shibalei Haleket, which we do not have. And the Shibalei Haleket says the following, in the name of the medrash: since the last day of Pesach commemorates the drowning of the Egyptians in the sea, and when the Egyptians were drowning in the sea, Hashem told the Malachim, "Ma'aseh yada, my creatures are drowning in the sea, so you shouldn't praise me." Because of that, on the seventh day of Pesach, we do not say a full halal. Now, I want to point out what's in the Gemara and the Medrash and what isn't. Be sure you understand the difference here. The idea that Hashem told the angels not to sing Shira, that is in the Gemara, and that is in the Medrash. I don't mean to say that is not. That is. What is not in the Midrashim that we have is that is never given as the reason for half halal. The one that is mechadesh that as the reason is the Shibalei Leket, who says it in the name of the Midrash, but we do not have that Midrash. And in fact, it's not so unusual. It's really quite amazing. And actually, it's very sad that the Rishonim will quote many Midrashim that we do not have. In other words, it happens to be the case that we have lost many Midrashim. And I'm not talking about losing them, 2,000 years ago. I mean, the Rishonim, well, it's been 1,000 years, let's say. Not that much. Shibalei Leket was in the 1200s. So how many years? That's less than 1,000 years ago. 1,200 is like 800 years ago. So 800 years ago, there were Midrashim that we don't have today. Before printing, manuscripts got lost. They got censored. They got lost. They got destroyed. And we weren't able to preserve everything. So it's a very, 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 very sad. But okay. Yeah. But it turns out we have 2 separate reasons why we don't say a full halal.
Well, the hashgacha pratis, right? Like, maybe it's too high for us to have these days.
Well, it might be. In fact, you're making a very interesting point. because we discover new manuscripts all the time, actually. For example, even in Gemara, not new Gemaras, but new Mefarshim. Let's say the Meiri. Have you heard of the Meiri? Meiri is a Rishon. In fact, many people like the Meiri because it's very clear and organized. And the Meiri was a Rishon in the time, basically, of the Rambam. And he wrote on virtually all of Shas. And the Meiri is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes, you know, other collections. But we did not have the works of the Meiri. They were not discovered. We discovered all these manuscripts in the 19th century, in the 1800s. And Rishonim are discovered, you know, even today. So the question becomes, should we use them to change the halakha? Let's say, for example, we poskimed a certain way because we said, most Rishonim say X. But now we discover more and more manuscripts, and now it turns out most Rishonim say Y. So do you change halakha based on new manuscripts? So it's meforsam that the Chazon Ish said no. Because the Chazon Ish said there was a reason why these manuscripts were not known to the Beis Yosef or to the other great Gedolim, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want them to decide the halacha based on that. And therefore, the fact that we discover it doesn't give us permission to argue with the Beis Yosef, because the Hashkacha determined what would be there, what would not be there. So you are correct, although we can't explain a reason in particular, but presumably what is kept and what is lost is connected to some Hashgacha practice as to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Am Yisrael to be connected to at any given point in our history. Yeah, it's a good point, but although I cannot give you an explanation for any particular measures, why it is lost or the like. Okay.
Doesn't the Maharal mention many Svarim of his that we don't have? Refers to
Oh, the Maharal's own Svar?
Yeah.
Well, not many, but the Maharal seems to indicate that he wrote a Sefer on Shabbos. Remember, the Maharal's Svarim are based on the Pasuk, Lecha Hashem HaGdula Bagvura, etc. And Gdula was Shabbos, and Gvura is Yitzias Mitzrayim, which we have Gvura Hashem. There are others from the Maharal has Chidushim on Shas, that we only have on Brachos Shabbos, and part of Ervin. The Maharal apparently wrote more. Yeah. When you talk about that, yeah, the truth of the matter is, there were many manuscripts of Achreidim even that were lost or destroyed. Yeah. Sometimes they got burnt in fire. I mean, mamish, we don't know. And even in the Holocaust, people's ksavim got destroyed. But I'm not sure if many. And in terms of the Maharal referring to Svarim, I think there may be two or three that he refers to that. I remember, but you might be right. Now, I want to tell you a word from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik says, so it turns out we have two different reasons in the Medrash. I'm sorry, in the Medrash and the Gemara, why we don't say a Hallel Shalei on the 7th of Pesach. So first of all, the Taz asks a great kasha on the Shibboleth Leket. The Shibboleth Leket says in the name of the Medrash that I don't say a full Hallel on the last day of Pesach because it commemorates Kriyas Yamsuf. But that's only an answer for the last day of Pesach. What about Chol HaMoed? In other words, Bishlama, the Gemara's reason is a very good reason for Chol HaMoed. The Gemara's reason is, since the Musaf after the first day is exactly the same, so nothing after the first day is a new Yom Tov, so it doesn't have a whole Hallel. So the Gemara's reason explains Chol HaMoed. But the Shibboleth Leket's reason only explains why I don't say Hallel on the last day. So what I should do, according to that logic, is I should say Hallel for 6 days, and earn a whole Hallel for the 6 days, and don't say a whole Hallel for the last day. Right? The Taz asks the question. So the Taz gives a bit of a daichik answer. The Taz says, you're right. But we never want to make Chol HaMoed more chashuv than Yom Tov. So we kind of work backwards. If we're not going to say the whole Hallel on the last day, even though it's a Yom Tov, right? The last day of Pesach is a Yom Tov. We're not going to say, oh, say it on Chol HaMoed, and then don't say it on Yom Tov. You don't want to give more chashivos to Chol HaMoed than Yom Tov. So the Shibboleth Leket is explaining why you don't say it the last day. Mimela, you're not going to say it Chol HaMoed. It's a daichik, but that's what the Taz says. So what Rav Chaim says is the following. Rav Chaim says, this is not a machlokas between the Gemara and the Medrash, but rather you actually need both reasons. you need both reasons. Why is that so? So Rav Chaim says that when we talk about a chi of Hallel, right, there's a chi of Hallel at various occasions of the Jewish year. So Machlokas Rishayin, is the chi of Hallel a mitzvah dal raisa? Or is the chi of Hallel a mitzvah d'rabbanan? Now you might ask right away, huh? How can the chi of Hallel be a mitzvah d'oraisa if what we say in Hallel are the words that David HaMelech wrote? What do you mean it's a chi of d'oraisa? David HaMelech was way after the Torah was given. So the Ramban explains that when we say, this is the Bahag, the Baal Hilchos Gedolos actually says Hallel is a d'oraisa. But he doesn't mean to say the words of David HaMelech. But that on these special occasions, one is obligated to thank Hashem in a public way. And David HaMelech wrote the words that we say, but if you didn't have that, you'd say something else. That's what it means that it's d'oraisa. Now that's the Bahag, Baal Hilchos Gedolos, one of the Gaonim. Most Rishonim say no, Hallel is d'rabbanan. Makes no difference for our purposes, d'oraisa, d'rabbanan. But the question is, whether it's d'oraisa or d'rabbanan, what is the reason that we're chayav to say Hallel? So the answer is, actually, there are two different factors that create the obligation of Hallel. Two different ones. And sometimes you have both, and sometimes you have one, and sometimes you have the other. You have to have one of these factors, but sometimes you have both of them. One goreim, right, goreim means a cause. One goreim of Hallel is the holiness of a yomtiv. That when you have a holiness of a yomtiv, that creates the chiyuv of Hallel. Sukkos. Why do I say Hallel? Because every day of Sukkos has the holiness of a yomtiv. Even Chol HaMoed has the partial holiness of a yomtiv. But there's another reason why you could be chayav to say Hallel. And that is to give gratitude for a miracle that occurred to the Jewish people. There is Hallel because of the Kedusha of a yomtiv, and there's Hallel because of the nace that happened to Klal Yisrael. Now, let's go through the times that you say Hallel, putting aside Rosh Chodesh. I'll get Rosh Chodesh in a minute, if that's all right. And let's see which reason. The reason I say Hallel of Sukkos is because it's a yomtiv commemorating Anan HaKadosh, but really, it's the holiness of the yomtiv. That's Mechayim. Shavuos, it's the holiness of the yomtiv. Chanukah is not a yomtiv. Chanukah is not a yomtiv at all. It's not even Chol HaMoed. So the Mechayev of Hallel is because of Nes, because of a miracle. Rosh Chodesh is neither a yomtiv, nor was there a miracle. So Ein Achinami, you know, the Gemara in Tainus says, Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is only a minhag. And of course it's become a din because it's our minhag. Hallel and Rosh Chodesh is not a chiyuv, because the chiyuv of Hallel is either if something is a yom tov, or something is a great miracle that happened to Am Yisrael. Rosh Chodesh is in between. That is why some have the minhag, it's not our minhag ashkenaz, but some Sephardic kehilos have the minhag, that they do not recite a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. I don't know if you've ever seen that. They do not recite a bracha on the Hallel of Rosh Chodesh. Others have a minhag that only the chazan says the bracha. Because, well, we make a bracha, but we don't want everybody to make a bracha. Let the chazan have the sin of bracha levatal. Okay? So Rosh Chodesh, I'm going to factor up, because Rosh Chodesh is not a chi of Hallel Bechlau. Rosh Chodesh is a minhag of Klal Yisrael. It's a very old minhag. It dates to the time of the Gemara already. But it is a minhag. Okay. So now, when we look at the Hallel of Pesach, Pesach is the intersection of both ideas. Pesach is a Yom Tov, and Pesach was the nes of our redemption. So, as a result, when you come to why I recite Hallel the first day of Pesach, you could either say it's because of the nes, or because of the Yom Tov. You have both factors. So here, when the Gemara is explaining, not the Gemara, when the Gemara and the Medrash are trying to explain why you don't do a full Hallel on the rest of Pesach, they have to answer two questions. why isn't it enough of a yom tov to do so? And number two, why isn't it enough of a miracle to do so? So Rav Chaim says, the Gemara and the Medrash are not giving two answers to the same question. They are giving two answers to two different questions. The Gemara's question is, since Sukkot is an 8-day Yom Tov, and Pesach is a 7-day Yom Tov, the same way the 8 days of the Sukkot Yom Tov make you say a whole Hallel, let the 7 days of the Pesach Yom Tov make you say a whole Hallel. See, the Yom Tov question. Now, for that question, you couldn't answer, oh, the Egyptians drowned, so we're sad. Because that's only an answer if you're saying Hallel over the miracle of the enemy being destroyed. But if you're saying Hallel because of the holiness of the Yom Tov, that's not connected to the enemy's destruction. So the Medrash's answer wouldn't have answered that question. So the Gemara has to answer, in Yom Tov, they're distinct. Because Sukkot, every day is a separate Yom Tov. Pesach, it's only one Yom Tov. But that only answers the Yom Tov question. The Medrash is now asking another question. That since on the 7th day of Pesach, there was a distinct miracle, even if we say it's not called a separate Yom Tov, because the Korban Musaf is the same, but let us say Hallel because it's a separate miracle. On that, the Medrash answers, for that miracle, we don't say a Hallel because Ma'aseh Yadai Tavu Vayam. So now Rav Chaim says, based on this understanding that the Gemara is addressing Hallel because of Yom Tov, and the Medrash is addressing Hallel because of miracle, we now understand that the Taz's question about Chol HaMoed is not a question, because the Taz is asking, we ought to say a full Hallel for Chol HaMoed. The answer is no, there's no reason for that. Because that's answered fully by the Gemara. Because the only reason to say Hallel, Hallel, no miracle happened on Chol HaMoed. A miracle happened on day one, Yetzias Mitzrayim. A miracle happened on day 7, Kriyas Yom Tov. Chol HaMoed is a Yom Tov of sorts. But the Yom Tov was already answered by the Gemara in Erchin, that the Musaf is not any different. And the Gemara's, the Medrash's Kasha is only on the 7th day, let's do it because of a special miracle. Answer, we don't celebrate that miracle. But Chol HaMoed, there was neither a miracle. And in terms of Yom Tov, it's one long Yom Tov. So therefore, the Rav Chaim says, it's a double pasha. You're not going to say a full Hallel on Chol HaMoed. Okay? This is Rav Chaim's argument. Okay. But be it as it may, to focus on the Shibali Lekets, Tom in the name of the Medrash. We don't say a full Hallel because of Ma'aseh Yadai Tavu Vayam. So people ask an obvious, I want to ask you two questions. First of all, if the angels are criticized for praising Hashem, and they were told keep quiet, then how could the Jewish people say, right after the Egyptians drowned, they say, Oz Yashir Moshe. The Jewish people praised Hashem. And they're not criticized, it seems. They seem to be glorified because of it. So, question number one is, what do you do about Oz Yashir? What about Ma'aseh Yadai Tavu Vayam? Question number two. Maybe we don't say Hol Hallel the rest of Pesach, but the first night at the Seder, and the first day, we do say a Hol Hallel, right? Well, plenty of Egyptians died that day, the plague of the firstborn, Makas Bechoros. So how come Ma'aseh Yadai, we're concerned about the Egyptians drowning only when it comes to the Kriyas Yom Tov? What about Mitzrayim itself? Right. So these are two questions. One is, even by Kriyas Yom Tov, we have the Oz Yashir. And second of all, why are we not worried about the Egyptians when it comes to the first day, Makas Bechoros? So the opposite is, let's take the Oz Yashir question first. There's a lot of answers we can talk. I'll give you the simplest answer. The simplest answer is, there is a difference between the person who experiences the miracle of salvation and a person that does not directly experience the miracle. if you directly experience the salvation of God, you have to say thank you. You can't say, gee, I can't really thank you, Hashem, because some Egyptians died in the process. You directly benefited from the Chasdei Hashem. You must express gratitude. So Mamela, the Uz Yashir, means the Jewish people are different than the angels. The angels are simply observing things that happen. So the angels see the Jewish people saved, they see the Egyptians dead. Hashem says, you don't sing my praises here. Because, not innocent people, but people died. So on the Egyptians, there's a taina of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam. But on Am Yisrael, there's no taina of Maisa Yadai Tavu Bayam, because they were the ones who were redeemed. If they're redeemed, they have to say, they have to have gratitude. But, the Sheba Lelekin is saying, that only applied to the people who were redeemed. We were not redeemed in the Yam Suf, so we only say a half halal. We don't go all the way up. In other words, what about the first night of Pesach? So here's the Chag. The Haggadah says, Chayav Adam Liros Es Atzmo Ki'ilu Hu Yatzo Mimitzrayim. That means the first night of Pesach, each person must feel as if they were personally redeemed. So Pesach night, I'm not describing what Hashem did to our forefathers. I am experiencing Hashem's direct redemption. So, in other words, we, the first night of Pesach, are like the Jewish people who said Az Yashir. Since we are personally experiencing the redemption, we give full thanks to Hashem, even if we're discussing the Egyptians dying. So according to this, it turns out the following. An interesting horror. That the obligation that each person must regard himself as if they were taken out of Mitzrayim is only going on Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's not going on Kriyas Yamsuf. Kriyas Yamsuf, I am commemorating what Hashem did for my ancestors. As a result, I'm like the angels. And that's why I only do the half halal. Now, the basic idea is, you see from the Kriyas Yamsuf story, there's a difference between the person who is saved and the angel who is watching. So the basic argument is, on the first night of Pesach, we are the person who is saved. On the seventh day of Pesach, we are like the angel that is watching. Because on the seventh day of Pesach, we don't personally experience. But again, that's what this verse says. Not everyone in the commentary agrees with this. Many Mefarshim say that the obligation that you yourself must regard yourself as if you were taken out of Mitzrayim includes Kriyas Yamsuf. But at least this board, which is also B'Shem Rav Chaim, is Mechalek. And that's a very beautiful chilek of why, when it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, we do the half halal, because we're not supposed to praise Hashem totally. When it comes to Makas Becharos, I do the whole halal, because when it comes to Makas Becharos, I am actually being redeemed. When it comes to Kriyas Yamsuf, I am not the one actually being redeemed, and therefore I'm not the angel. So that would be a chiluk in that sense.
What about the halal on Hanukkah? Because the Greeks, many Greeks died.
Yeah, that's a good question. The halal on Hanukkah, that's a good question, because the Chari, the Greeks died. Yeah. So the answer that's given there is this. If you learn, now this is a big machlokas, that the halal on Hanukkah might be connected to the lighting, the miracle of the Neros, then it's not connected to the Greeks dying. But the other thing is that the following. I think the difference would be that the halal is on the miracle. Now in Mitzrayim, the miracle was the Egyptians, you know, God did special divine intervention to kill the Egyptians. Hanukkah, whoever Ivanim got killed, that wasn't through a miracle. You know, they died in war. The miracle is that we were able to achieve a victory over that great country. But the Etzem death was not part of that. For example, if they would have surrendered and the like. In other words, the only thing we're grateful for is not the destruction. We're grateful for the liberation. And that is something theoretically independent of the destruction. But it is a good question. Yeah.
Doesn't also the very day of Hanukkah suggest, because it's the day after the war was won, so we're celebrating the rest that resulted after the war?
Well, I think so. In fact, they make the point about Purim. Now, Purim, of course, doesn't have a challah. That's another question. But you're correct. It's been pointed out by many people that the Jewish people don't celebrate the day of war. They celebrate the day after the war. Purim is the day after. Chanukah is the same thing. And in fact, the word Chanukah is dedication of the Beis HaMikdash. That's the other thing. But your question is a good question. Okay, so everyone understands this idea of the Maaseh. And again, I think it also is a practical way of how we look at human beings. It's a very, very important idea that one should be very proud to be a Jew. That one has to understand the Jewish people have a unique mission in the world, a unique relationship with Hashem. But that uniqueness should not turn into denigrating other people. Fakert, one of the unique qualities of Am Yisrael is that we look at every human being as made in the image of Hashem. And if you look at the true Gedolim, you will almost always see that they had a tremendous respect for every human being. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky lived near a monastery, not a monastery, a convent, nuns. And after he was nifter, so a boy was walking around, Muncie, and all of a sudden he bumps into a nun wearing full habit, for the old-fashioned nuns. And the boy was a little startled, and she said, "Do you mind if I ask you a question?" Okay. And she said, "There used to be an old rabbi that lived around here," because Rav Yaakov went to a daughter in Baltimore. He was nifter in Baltimore, so he hadn't been in Muncie for around a year. "So I'm just wondering where the old rabbi is. Is he still here?" So the person said, "Well, this rabbi died. You mean Rabbi Kamenetsky?" She said, "Ah." So the boy just asked, "How do you know Rabbi Kamenetsky?" He says, "Well, he would be taking a walk every day, and he was the only Orthodox Jew who, whenever he saw me, would always say, 'Good morning, have a good day.' So I was just wondering where that rabbi was." And this was the idea of Kavod Abrios. There you have one of the Gedolei Hador who said, "Good morning," number one, to a woman. Okay, that's number two, to a nun. Just to show you that this idea. This idea of Kavod Abrios was taken very, very seriously. And these are things we should try to imitate also. Meaning we should at least try to imitate. We'll never become that, but their Hasmada, and their Yiras Shemayim, and their Ahavas Taira, and that's something we try to work on. But also their Kavod Abrios and their Binah Mechavera are also things that we should try to imitate as well. And those are maybe more accessible. They're a little easier, you know, easier for us on some level. You don't have to be a genius to be able to do those things. Okay, yeah, we'll do the